Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you today. My name is Andrew Mixer. I've been serving as a pastor throughout Minnesota since 2011, and so I'm excited to share the word with you today. God's called us some different places throughout the state, and we have landed in Grand Rapids here for a while now. But I had another announcement to give you guys this morning that some of you guys contributed to a missionary or a missions event that we had take place in June. I had talked to Pastor Jason about kind of giving you a quick little update. I'm not sure if one of them was here. A couple of you guys came with to do the ministry. We did a car care missions back in June, and I got some numbers for you guys. And there's a ministry that happens at this time. It's for single moms, and it's during the single moms retreat. And several of you have contributed to it, but I have some cool statistics to show you, because sometimes being a missionary at this, it was just being hands and feet of Jesus, working on some of the single mom's car. And we had 99 volunteers show up from across the state of Minnesota. We had raised or set a goal to raise $30,000, and $40,375 actually came in to do that ministry. If we would have purchased parts to do the repairs on these mom's cars, would have been $34,500 if they would have just walked in and bought the parts. And so we figured for a total investment of that weekend, we saved single moms across the state of Minnesota $97,725 if they would have went to a main shop and gotten the repairs done. 120 cars were checked for fluids, vacuumed and looked over. And then 71 cars were repaired, and we did 71 tires on 20 different cars. That was kind of one of the areas that me and Luke from church here were over, was helping the tires. They did 42 brake jobs, 35 cabin air filters, 18 engine air filters, 2 wheel bearings of hubs, and this one is kind of crazy, 61 lug nuts were replaced. So there was a lot of tires rolling around without extra lug nuts on them. But anyways, this ministry has been close to our heart. It's been a ministry that happens at Lake Geneva Christian Center once a year during that single mom's retreat. And we just love being hands and feet for people in a practical way. So sometimes being a missionary, or I called it a mini mission trip when we were talking about it the first time, we always look for our volunteers to come and serve and just be a blessing to moms across the state of Minnesota. So thank you for your faithfulness in giving, and then for volunteering, for some of you to come and help volunteer at this event. But today we're going to continue with our stories with a point in talking about parables and such. Pastor Jason had given us a great example last week in regards to the parable, talking about the yeast and making a big difference with a little bit of yeast. They were up here, but now they're gone. There was tiny mustard seeds. There's one. Oh, there it goes. Tiny mustard seed faith, about how having a little bit of faith can make a huge impact on people and whatnot. So this week we're going to go with a parable that when he asked me to speak, I was like, oh yeah, I want to do that parable. And it's the parable of the net. But what I realize is, going through the parable of the net, it is a very heavy parable. It's found in Matthew chapter 13. And the reason it's a heavy parable is it doesn't just talk about faith in the aspect of, all right, our faith needs to grow and we can have a little bit of faith, make a big impact, but it's one that deals with eternity. We often, when we're dealing with eternity, it's forever. And you look at people next to us, we're most likely going to spend eternity in heaven with them. They've accepted Jesus. They've chosen to follow Jesus. But in reading through this parable, I kept thinking about the people that we rub shoulders with on a daily basis, and the people that we maybe have encountered in community, or maybe it's a family member who's far off from God. Let's turn to the parable this morning. It's found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 47. It says this, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore and sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world, and the angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand all of these things? Yes, they said, we do. Then he added, every teacher of religious law becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old. I want to take a minute and just pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you just soften our hearts today. You'd help us to receive what you would have for us from this parable, this truth that you had spoken years ago. God, we ask that you just help us to apply it into our life. Help us to be challenged to impact those around us that who are far from you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, speaking of fishing, I know we're in northern Minnesota, right? Who is an angler? Because I was doing some research. There's fishermen, fisherwomen. They said now there's just anglers, okay? There's anglers here. There's young, there's old. Who has caught a massive, massive fish? Anybody caught a really, really big fish? Who's caught a really, really little fish? I went out the other night fishing, and I caught one that was like this big, and he thought I caught bait. The guy was fishing next to him. So I have a challenge because I like to be interactive when I'm preaching, and you could probably kind of see that as I'm running around back and forth on the stage here. But I have a challenge for the youth because I want to make it a connection point for them. Marianne, would you go grab the stuff? So I'm going to need a few volunteers. It could probably be youth volunteers because sometimes they're shy to get up in front of church and whatnot. But I have a challenge, and it involves fishing. So do I have like three or four volunteers that would be willing to come up and help? All right, you got Micah. Come on, Micah, you can come. All right, Connor's coming. All right, you can help Mariana set up the table down here, and she's going to go grab one other thing quick. But I was thinking of this challenge because in this parable, it is not a little fishing net. You know, we in northern Minnesota people, we got, you know, a fishing net is this big. It got a little pole. You could scoop up your northern or the bass when it's getting close to the dock. This parable, when I was doing research, is talking about a seine net. Okay, this net is 800 to 1,000 feet long. Now, who would think they could catch a good number of fish with a net that large? Right? I mean, you're drawing in. This net was massive. This net was huge. And that was what they were drawing into the shore. So what I have here is the kids is one of the kids' favorite snack of all time, right? The goldfish. And I have a fishing net. I think I need one more volunteer. Is there an adult who'd want to participate in this game? Come on, one more adult of the challenge. All right, Leanne. Hey, Leanne, come on up here. All right, so we have three fishing nets here. We have a large number of goldfish. And what I want you to do is to separate them out. What the difference is you really can't tell. And I thought about this. Sometimes we rub shoulders with people who we do not know whether they know the Lord or not. Maybe they've been spoken about their faith, or maybe they shared about their faith. Maybe they talked to you about it. Other times people are just kind of, I keep my faith to myself. And then there's other times where you see indicators of people's lives and things that are like, I don't believe that this person is close to God. So maybe it's just one little thing or one little mark that kind of separates them from the rest. Well, I don't know how many goldfish are in here that are unmarked, but I know that there are 100 goldfish in here that are marked. Okay, you guys see this here? It's a very, very small mark, very, very small indicator that it's not pure, not clean like the other ones. All right, are you guys ready?
What are we doing?
You are fishing out the goldfish with one mark. They have a black mark on the goldfish eye. And you're going to try to separate them as quick as you can. There's a few worms thrown in there for bait just to see if you could help get it faster. But go ahead and get started.
Okay.
And see if you can get all 100. It's going to take a little while. Mariana and them, you can use the net. You can take a bunch out, put it on the table, sort it out, figure it out, whatever way works the best. So
can
take a scoop. Take a scoop of them and separate them out that way, and then see if you can find the ones quicker that way. So with 100 of them marked, 100 of them marked is an indicator, all right, hey, we know that this one is different. When they brought the fish ashore, I have it's a testimony or a perspective. It's called From the Jerusalem Perspective of the fishermen from that day and age. Actually, this was not that day and age, but of recent same net fishing, where they said that they would draw it in. I'm going to read it for you today. For perspective, again, this net is 800 to 1,000 feet long. On the ends, it's 10 to 13 feet high. In the middle, it's 26 feet high. It took two teams of men, 8 men on each side, to draw this net in. And then they said that they would harness themselves to the net and pull it in on both ends of the shore. And they were to do that to keep tension on it, because they were worried that if they didn't keep enough tension drawing the net in, that the fish would either dive down or try to go over the net. But keeping the net, they were pulling them ashore. It said that they would draw anywhere from 200 to 300 kilograms of fish in each drag. I know we have limits in Minnesota. I think, what is it, crappies is like 10, something like that. The bass, was it 6? Imagine bringing in that number of fish, just tons and tons of fish. And it was quite the process. Here's the quote from the Jerusalem Perspective. It says, "Early in the morning, our crew would assemble and arrange the heavy net on the stern of the boat and hurriedly sail off to catch at a good fishing area. Half of the crew would be put ashore with the first towing line, and the boat would sail out until it reached the end of its line, turn and sail parallel to the shore until the net was spread. The boat then returned ashore with the remaining half of the crew, would light and take the end of the second towing line, leaving the boat ashore. Those teams would then harness themselves to the towing line, pull the net toward the shore, moving towards each other as they pulled. The sinkers were dragging the foot along the bottom, and then it had formed a semicircular wall around the shore in the lower edge of the bottom of the lake. It said the fish do not swim over the net because they were wanting to dive and try to get below it. The whole operation would take several hours or more, after which the fish had been caught. They were sorted and the net rearranged at the stern of the boat. And then they would start the process all over again." How's it going with the 100 fish, guys? Not good.
Not good. Terrible.
You can have a little worm if you want.
6, 7.
You got a pretty good number there. Boys, you're working really, really hard. Sometimes it's difficult to see the difference, right? If you don't see it on the right side, it's just there's one little mark.
Right? Some of them have bigger marks.
Some of them have bigger marks. There was 2 Sharpies.
6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, 30.
All right. Let's go for 2 more minutes and see how many you guys get. The fishing experience that they had with those same nets would take a ton of work. And it would draw in this huge, huge number of fish. And usually what they were separating out of the net or out of the catch was the scaleless fish or the catfish, the ones that, from of the law, they weren't allowed to eat. What distinguishes you from your neighbor? What distinguishes you from someone else that you rub shoulders with? Is your faith is one that is evident, that people can see the outward signs? Is it one where people can see that, hey, you're operating as the hands and feet of Jesus? You're sharing the love of Jesus with others. You're helping minister. I think they almost got it. 30 more seconds. 30 more seconds. Yep, there is 100, but it's okay. All right, We'll call it good, guys. Thank you so much for your help. If you want, you can have a gummy worm or a goldfish as a prize. Or I do have more goldfish in the back.
I think we got 99.
You did?
I think so.
99. 20,
30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Oh,
89. 89. All right. Mariana and Drew, can you guys come grab the table and the cart? See, when we encounter people on a daily basis, we don't know if someone has walked away from their faith. We don't know if they've been even introduced to faith. I wanted to think about those two or those few that are going to be the ones that are cast out. We can have an impact on a person's eternity by sharing Jesus with someone. What if you're that only person that they make the connection with? And I believe what God appoints at times is what I like to call divine appointments. And sometimes you have to be willing and open to the Holy Spirit's leading to have a conversation that you might be a little uncomfortable to have. And it happened to me this week. I had two conversations, and sometimes it's the Holy Spirit kicking you a little bit. You're like, you've seen this person before, but you've never talked to them. And I was at the gas station and the other morning, and I said, hey, I've seen you around town. It's a car thing. I was like, I've seen you around with these cars. Like, is that you? He's like, yeah. He's like, man, the Lord has been working in my life. But I had given up 17 years of sobriety and made a bad decision. And I've now walked back to the Lord. But it took someone to have a good conversation with me to help bring me back to the recovery group that he was a part of and turn back to Christ. And I thought, how cool to see God at work in a person's life who would have been cast out, because we have all fallen short, right? No one is perfect. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But what if it's those little conversations that God appoints us to have with people, and then we're just like, oh, not yet, not now. Sometimes God gives you that second little tap. No, go have that conversation, turn around, do what you need to do to make a connection with this person, because you never know. You never know the time, you never know the hour. Things can happen. See, before any of us encounter Christ, we had all fallen short of God's glory. In Romans 3:22 through 24, often you guys hear of Romans 3:23, and maybe you're not familiar with God's word, but I'm going to read the context of 22 through 24 today. It says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. What I love about that is I can't earn or work towards his salvation, because Jesus already had given it to us as a free gift. When we encounter people who are far from the Lord or do not know the Lord, I pray for those opportunities where, you know what, you can share your truth and your testimony. God's given you the truth in his word, but sharing your testimony might make you the most relatable person that they've talked to, and might be the person that needs to get them connected to Jesus. Your testimony, as you may have heard that saying, your test becomes your testimony at times. It might have been a struggle that you had faced in your life, or a challenge where you had to overcome, and it was only with God's help that you were able to do it. I'm grateful that with faith in Jesus, we didn't have to be that perfect person before Christ paid the price for our sins. Has anyone had that challenge before? You feel like, I can't step foot in this church because I don't look the part. Maybe it's not here, maybe it's somewhere else. I don't feel like I am good enough to come. I don't feel like I'm clean. I don't feel like I'm worthy. But Jesus didn't ask us to be perfect before we walk through the doors. He asked us to take that step of obedience. Maybe it is ministering to that friend. Maybe it's ministering to that family member who's far from the Lord. And to have the opportunity to share, to speak, and to just live out your faith. Romans 5, 6 through 8. And I believe these verses are powerful because it talks about how we get closer to Jesus. It says, when we were utterly helpless, so we could have been broken, we could have been going through a struggle, we could have been going through our greatest challenge in our life. God's word says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came just at the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I believe that the Holy Spirit can put people on your heart, even maybe this morning. The Holy Spirit's put someone on your heart. I like to call it of the five. Think of five friends or five coworkers, five people, someone from your family that I could be praying for them more. I could take that opportunity to share that faith that maybe I've been hesitant to share a word of truth with them. But when the Holy Spirit leads you, you have to be willing to step up and say yes. What happens when you take that step? Take that step towards sharing that word and sharing that truth with people. You give them the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven. It was heavy in this parable because if you don't do your part, if you don't share the words with the right people that you need to share with, I think, what if they miss out? God can send someone else. God can use someone else. But were you obedient to what God put on your heart? And to have a clear conscience and say, God called me to speak. God called me to share. God called me to live in a way of which was honoring to him. And choosing to do so, have that clear conscience, have that clear impression of the Holy Spirit said, you've done what God has called you to do. You've spoken, you've said your truth, and you've asked and helped lead others to encounter Jesus. Let's reread through Matthew 13:47. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When that was full, they dragged it up into the shore and sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. And the angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand these things? Now, in the commentaries on this text, it had talked about there's always going to be good. There's always going to be bad until the end of the age. There's always going to be just and unjust people around you. But we can take action to impact others and to hopefully draw more to Christ and more to the good and more to the just than for those to be cast out and the unjust who would spend eternity then in hell. It's a heavy parable because it involves us taking action and it involves us to impact others for the kingdom and allow Jesus to do the work in other people's lives. So I asked this question before, what are those things that distinguish you from your neighbor, your friend, your coworker, Have you shared that faith when you've had the opportunity to? Or have you been afraid or allowed fear to step in and keep you from being obedient to what the Holy Spirit had put on your heart? I believe as a body of believers in Christ, we can draw closer to God. And this morning in worship, and I know Sherry was saying, talking about imperfect people. But this morning, before we had come up, we had prayed back here in the prayer room before service had started. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would posture people's hearts to receive what God's word has for them. It's probably not going to be the longest sermon that you ever had listened to, but it can be one that is heaviness and allows you to take action. But when we're worshiping this morning, the Holy Spirit just hit me in Revelation 4, both of the songs that were spoken lined up to this. And it's Revelation 4 talks about worship in heaven. And if you jump to verse 8 or towards the end of verse 8, it says, day after day, night after night, they kept on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was and who is and who is still to come. Whenever the beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne of the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. As we just got to experience just a little glimpse of worshiping the body of believers, kind of like worship will be in heaven. The heaviness of it is who's going to miss out? How can we change that? I'm going to just take a moment. I don't know, Mindy or Steve, if you have a worship song that you can just play. And I want to pray for those people. Pray for those, even if it's just five. There's probably more than five. We encounter a lot of people on a daily basis. But who are those that are the five that God's putting on your heart to take up a consistent prayer for? The ones that who are far from God. Heavenly Father, we ask you would just soften our hearts. Five people this morning. There's probably 150 people in the room. So the five changes to 500 and some more. But God, we ask that you would give us the right timing, the right opportunities, and the right words to say, to speak your truth that would soften a person's heart to Jesus. That they too could experience eternity in heaven with you. Hearing that worship, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God, we thank you for the five that you've brought to mind this morning. We ask that you would help us to be consistent in praying for them, to have our conversations that we need to have, to challenge us to speak truth and to speak life into situations. But maybe it's also conviction or challenge. God, if your Holy Spirit emboldens us to say that, to do that, we ask that your just words would speak true. Jesus' name. Amen. So, point of the parable today. Stories with a point. We encounter people on a daily basis, right? Some are very close to God and some are very far away. How can you make a difference in the ones that are far away? Be faithful in praying for those five. Be faithful in maybe speaking truth to them when needed, or giving them a word that at the right time of encouragement. And maybe it's someone that you've been praying for a very, very long time. I've shared a story with a couple of you in here. But God's faithfulness sometimes doesn't always take place on the timetable of which we want it to happen. He's working in details that we might not know, right? There's miraculous things that can happen. There's healings that can happen. But sometimes there's hurts that go really, really deep, and it takes a long time. And in this experience that we had, I had an uncle who was far, far from God. He once loved the Lord, and he grew up knowing the truth of the Lord. He actually sang on a worship team in high school, and then had an experience that led him far from God for about 50 years of his life. And he recently passed away a couple years ago. But 50 years, I think of my grandfather, he prayed for him probably for 48 of those years, because grandpa passed away 2 years before he returned back to the Lord. And it's, God, why didn't you heal, or why didn't you deliver, or why didn't it happen on day one? But it was a long testing period of him to return back to faith. And the challenges that he faced helped others in those testing and the trials that he had faced. He helped others to encounter Christ later on in his life then. Helped other people get set free from addiction. Helped other people maybe choose Jesus, because of even in a final hour, he chose Jesus as well. So it might take more than just a week. It might take more than a month. Who knows? Maybe it's going to take that 50 plus years of people praying. And I think of it, it wasn't just one generation. It was a generation and another generation praying for deliverance till the deliverance happened. But our God is greater than the addiction. Our God is greater than the struggle. And we can just give him the honor and the glory when those things do happen. And we don't always understand his timing. So for the things that you've been praying for and you haven't seen it, just to encourage you to keep pressing in. Maybe it's for the person that is far from God that you've been praying for a number of years. Continue to pray. Maybe it's your children praying for that person, or your grandchildren praying for that person now. So I believe even in the final hour when he chose to come back to Jesus, a life full of challenge, struggle, addiction, other things, he still can spend eternity with Jesus, because he paid that price. Jesus paid that price for him and his sins. So stay steadfast in your prayers. It might take a while, but just to be an encourager to you today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church this morning. We thank you for this body of believers. We thank you for the people that you have put on our heart. God, some may need a sense of more urgency of prayers. But God, we just ask you to continue and to begin a new work in us, just to see your hand at work and people turning back to faith in ways and professing you as their Lord and Savior, God. We ask that you would be with each and every family here as we go our separate ways today. But God, I pray for one thing, and that you would give us those divine appointments, Lord God. Maybe one of the five that we would have a conversation with this week that we've been avoiding about faith, but you would challenge us to just to say the things that you would have us to say. God, we pray a blessing on each and every family as they go now. And we ask that you be with us, encourage us, and challenge us this week just to be hands and feet of Jesus. Speak your truth. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.